should not take the place of high importance in your heart. You can't serve Jesus, who said, "Let he who is without sin cast the first stone," and then serve mudslinging politicians.
Come on, come on.
I cannot think of a place that needs to hear, "If you have no sin, cast the first stone," more than the House of Representatives, than Congress, than the White House. They are all guilty. And yet we as men and women in this country will give them precedent in our heart. And we'll talk throughout the week about Jesus' love and how he's about unity and peace. Well, politics are about division and dissension. They don't mesh well. When you start to serve politics instead of God, you become a divisive person. You are always looking to the other side of the table, not for unity, but to figure out how you can argue with them. You will find yourself constantly attacking other people, and your tone of voice and your tone of spirit will become such a way that people don't want to be around you, because they don't want to associate themselves with Dr. Politics. There's a reason they don't want you to talk about it at your job, because it will ruin work relationships. There's a reason that there's a separation of church and state. And I believe that separation of church and state was God ordained, because he did not want politicians running his church, because politicians get into politics and politics are about divide and it can get dirty. So I want to go to Titus 3, 9 through 11. "But avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and arguments and quarrels about the law, because these are unprofitable and useless. Warn a divisive person once, then warn them a second time. After that, have nothing to do with them." It don't get much clearer than that. "After that, have nothing to do with them. You may be sure that such people are warped and sinful. They are self-condemned." It's sounding more and more like sitting politics on your throne is a way for you to become warped and sinful. And if I could describe politics all over the place, not just this country, but all over the world, it is warped and sinful. Right. Even the politicians that want to do things for God get themselves dirty and muddy for politics. Now, I'm not saying all politicians are bad people. I am saying that politics and church and faith, they don't mesh well.
Right, right.
They don't. Now, you have to do both of them. You should vote and you should exercise your civic duty. But it should not become your personality.
Right, exactly.
Politics are about men using power to dictate other people's lives. Faith is about God's love changing yours.
Come on, man.
Those two things don't go hand in hand.
Yeah.
And what I want to say to the church of believers is, don't let God get represented through politics. It is in stark contrast to who he is. When you let God get represented through politics, what you do is you introduce God to people through law. God gave you freedom.
Come on. Yeah.
Jesus bought you freedom from law.
Yeah.
So already we have taken a New Testament upon ourselves. So the New Testament law ordains that you just have to believe in the Father. You just have to believe in what Jesus did for you. So already there's a stark contrast. I've said a million times already that politics are dirty and about divide. That don't sound like my God or my Jesus. Nobody in politics sounds like they love one another. That don't sound like my Jesus. And I've never seen a political post that makes me want to go hug somebody. It is not godly. It does not emulate Father God in heaven very well. What it emulates is abusive Father. And we do not want other people getting the idea that God is an abusive, law-pushing Father. He is a loving, compassionate Father, and he doesn't care what side of the issue you're on, because God cares about one issue. Are you his son or daughter? And the answer, whether you want to believe it or not, whether you believe in God or not, is you are his creation, you are his son, you are his daughter, and you are either lost or saved. That is the only divide in the world. And that divide is not one that we used to argue. It is one that the saved use to go save other people.
Right.
Politics and faith do not mix. So when you get politics on your throne, God is far away from being your king. So keep politics out of your doors. Now, the next one I want to talk about is another one that might get some groans, but I want to talk about money. And I hate to break it to everybody out there. There are some people on Facebook that need to hear this. God's never called anybody to be a paper chaser. I hope you know that.
Come on now.
God ain't made you to chase paper. He made you to chase people and save people.
Right.
Why serve something that comes so easily and goes so easily? Mm-hmm. I want my king to be powerful. I want to know what my king is doing at all times, and I want to know that in 50 years I'll serve the same king. But you can't serve the same dollar for longer than you can spend it.
Right, right.
God is everlasting. Money comes and money goes. And the value of your God never changes, but the value of your money changes every day.
Yeah, that's right.
I have a car that takes $65 to fill up in the gas tank. 3 or 4 years ago, about $40. My car isn't even stable. My money isn't even stable. Rent has gone up. Everything rises in price. Eggs are now, it feels like 38 cents an egg, and you get a dozen of them for like $5. It's really awful to buy eggs now because you realize I thought that chickens were the most abundant farm animal on the planet. And yet eggs are so expensive. I don't get where it's happening. Money is so easy to lose. Do not put something so unstable on your throne.
Right. Good word.
Money is an unstable king, and that's why you are unstable. Do you ever notice that people who are all about money in their lives are the most unstable people you've ever seen? It's because they can't find a way to keep it. It's because you always got to keep making it. It's because you always got to keep spending it. They say you got to spend money to make money. Well, I may not be the smartest man in the world, but that sounds kind of dumb to me. As somebody who has to spend money to be able to stay alive, I ain't got money left to spend to make money. So I don't know where this came from. And I don't want that on my throne because I want my throne to be something I can go to and count on.
Yes, yes, hallelujah.
I need a king on my throne when my life is filled with heartache that I can go to and say, you are my stable rock.
Yes, hallelujah.
I can count on you.
Hallelujah, God, hallelujah.
And I think no scripture captures it best than Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters.
Right.
Either you will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money.
Come on now.
You can't serve God and money. So online, while you're getting yourself prepared to make a bunch of money and a bunch of investments, that's a good thing to do. But don't, again, make that your personality. Christians are not paper chasers. We are people chasers.
Yeah,
get that
hallelujah.
Through your head hallelujah. And let money go.
Hallelujah.
And there are some things that people get wrong about the Bible and money. No, God did not call all of us Christians to be poor. That is not what the Bible says. Some are called to wealth and some aren't. And I want to say something that is going to be very hard for some people to hear, but it is a good thing that some people aren't called to money.
That's true. That's true.
I know quite a few people in my life, if they had a few $100s, they may overdose.
Right, right.
Whoop.
Come on.
Whoop. I know quite a few people in my life who would get re-addicted if they had a few more dollars in their life. I know some people, if they got themselves a few more dollars, they'd buy something they didn't need and they'd lose everything they had. Money would be the worst thing that ever happened to them.
Right, right.
I know people who are alive today because of the poverty they are in.
Right.
You may not feel like it because the world is telling you you need money, but the answer may be you may not need money right now.
Right, right.
Money can be dangerous. Money will distract you from God.
Yes, that's true.
And money in its nature is not inherently evil, but it provides you the opportunity to be so yourself.
That's good. That's true.
Money will buy your sin. Mm. Not every sin costs money, but it's easy to spend money on sin.
Yeah.
I know quite a few people who miss on Sundays because they drank too much last night.
Yeah. True.
I know quite a few people who miss on Sundays because they're out chasing money. I know quite a few people who've got other things going on in their life, and they should invest in that, but they're so caught up in spending on their sin, and they're so wrapped up in making money that they can't see the problems that are arising behind them, and pretty soon they have a mountain of problems because they've been focusing on their money.
Yeah. Yeah.
Focusing on money sounds like something you should do, and it's hard to balance that that life, especially as a father and as a man. You're taught from day one that you're a provider. You're taught from day one that your worth can come from how well you provide for your family. I want to erase that. Your worth comes from what God says your worth is.
Right.
It doesn't matter what money you got in your pocket. It matters that you are providing God for your family.
That's
when
right.
we say that God wants you to be a provider, provide God for your family.
Amen.
That is what you provide.
Amen.
Forget money. Don't put money on the throne. Don't put money in a high spot in your life. Go make it. Get yourself a nice place. Get yourself a nice car. And then serve God with it.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
And I'm closing on the last point. This is one that I think most people put on the throne. Yourself.
That's true.
Now, there are two ways that you can serve yourself. And way number one is self-fulfillment. You are not worthy of leading yourself.
Come on.
You should serve someone higher and better than you.
Yes.
You should serve someone more educated, more respectable, more decent, more strong, more powerful. That is only God.
Right.
You are not qualified to be your own king.
Right.
And you've got to understand, with the self-fulfillment mentality, life is not about what you want. It is about what God has ordained for you. Mm. And you may not want what God has ordained for you, but that is what is good for you.
Right.
There are 7.7 billion people on earth. But please go on about how life is supposed to be about you.
Oh, come on.
You are but a speck of sand on every beach. Mm. People come and people go. You have a gift that God wants you to use, not so you can get the glory, so that he can get the glory.
Hallelujah.
You have a life to live, not so that you can enjoy life, so that people can see God through your life.
Life is not about you.
Hallelujah. And if you make your life about fulfilling yourself, you will die unfulfilled.
That's right.
There are some people laying in caskets now that wish they spent more time thinking about other people. There are some people in hospital beds right now waiting on the doctor's report, and their only thought is, I should have thought of others more. Mm. It is all over the world to be selfish. Don't fall into that. It is not good for you to put yourself first. You put God first. You can take care of yourself. And my wife and I, we have a marriage, and marriage works in a certain way. And that works in a way that life should work, and it works in how your relationship with other people should work. I don't put myself first. I put my wife first.
Yeah.
She doesn't put herself first. She puts me first. Right. And at the end of the day, she takes better care of me than I do of myself. And I take better care of her than she does of herself.
Right.
And it works in the way that by letting myself not be the first thing I think about in the morning, I actually have a better caretaker than myself.
Right.
And my life has gotten better once I gave the job of taking care of me to somebody else who's more qualified to do it.
Yeah.
You may think getting some me time is the right thing to do. You need to get some God time.
Right. Amen.
You need to practice that. You need to let God be on your throne. And yes, there will be some times where you need to take some time to yourself. And yes, self-care is important. Self-care is a good thing. I'm a very high advocate for mental health. And I want everyone to think about their mental health and do everything they can to make it better.
Amen.
However, that stops at the throne room.
Come on.
Don't push God out of the throne so you can sit in it.
Yeah.
You don't look good on the throne.
That's right. Come on.
Go to James 3:16. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing.
That's right.
Is born out of self-fulfillment.
Come on.
When you are fulfilling yourself instead of God, you are living a sinful life.
That's right.
And you could not, you could take all the Ten Commandments and not go against any of those. You could commit no infractions on the Ten Commandments. But the very ideology in your life that you come first is sinful.
That's
so
right.
From the very beginning, when you wake up in the morning, before you take a step, if your first thought is about yourself, you already started sinning.
Come on.
God has called you to other people.
Yes. Amen.
The Bible says that we are lights unto the world. I have never seen a light bulb, a flashlight, a car's headlights. I have never seen sunlight. I have never seen any type of light in this world that needs the help of other light, that needs itself. The sun don't shine for the sun.
Right.
You don't turn on a flashlight to look at it. A flashlight doesn't fulfill itself. It changes the darkness around you. You put a flashlight on and you go get one out of the drawer because there's some darkness you need to change. Well, God turns you into a flashlight, and there's some darkness in the world that you need to change.
Right.
And if you're too busy thinking about yourself, the world around you will remain dark, and you will find out that when you lay your head down at night, you are unfulfilled because your purpose in life is other people.
Come on, praise his name. Praise God.
And if we all do that, just like a healthy, happy marriage, it gets better.
Yes, amen.
Because God is better at taking care of you than you are.
That's right. Amen.
Now, your desires can be met in God. But it's important they don't take place over him, because then you will never be satisfied. That yearning in your heart is for God, not for stuff.
Right.
Nothing you buy will fulfill you. It'll make you happy for a little bit, But especially in today's technology world, before you know it, it'll be trash. Somebody will come to your house and say, oh, that's the TV you got. Hmm. All right. Oh, you got a PlayStation 4. I thought they had a PlayStation 5 out. That's weird. Oh, you got the iPhone 11? Well, they're already on the 15. Before you know it, things that made you feel good about yourself will start making you feel bad about yourself. Right, that's why you got to serve God, because He is constantly uncomparable. Yeah. There is nothing that can change what God is. He is incomparable. Yeah. He is powerful. Amen. There is no upgrade to Him. That's why you need to serve Him instead of yourself. Sin is all around you, and you shouldn't serve someone so close to sin. Because then you are just serving sin. When you put yourself on the throne, you think you're taking care of you. But really, you are serving sin. Now that is a powerful thought to think about. When I'm on the throne, I am being led by sin. There is no further from God than sin. So if you find yourself on the throne, you better get off of it quick.
Right. Amen.
Because you are starting to serve the opposite of our Father.
Right.
The other way, and the final thing I'll be talking about today, and this one is a challenge, because I know the people who need to hear this are the very types of people who don't want to hear this. The other way you can serve yourself is through self-pity. Placing your sorrow at the forefront of your life. Letting how bad your life is be the thing that people know about you. Letting the throne of God belong to your problems and not your problem solver. Placing your own sorrow at the forefront of your life leads only to more sorrow. Have you noticed that people who have that mentality of self-pity always have more things to pity in their life?
Yeah.
It is a never-ending chain. Bad things keep happening, and I'm going to tell you why. It's because you're manifesting them by letting those things sit on the throne.
Right.
When you are led by a king, that king takes you where he wants to take you. Well, when your pity is leading you, it is leading you to more pity. When your self-righteous attitude that nothing is right in this world, that nothing is good in this world, that I can't figure things out, that I have the worst life in the world, it is just going to lead you to more heartache and more sorrow. You are being led by sorrow, and that is why you are always led into more sorrow. It is no coincidence that the people who talk about their challenges more have more challenges to talk about. It's because they spend more time talking about their problems and less time praising the Father. Everything you touch is tainted because your king is. You get a new job and it falls apart. You get a new car and it breaks down. You get some money in your bank and all of a sudden you got a negative draft account. You get a relationship and it falls apart. You get yourself back on track and you're re-addicted. Why is that? It's because your king is tainted.
Come on.
Get your self-pity off of the throne. It is tainting your life.
Right. Amen.
Now, I am one person who will tell you, I will feel sorry for you. I will feel sorry for the bad things that happen in your life. But I will not allow you as a friend to be self-pitying.
Right.
Because
right.
It just leads to more issues. God is the God of victory.
Come on, man.
Don't you dare think your past mistakes can overthrow him.
Come on.
Don't you dare think your circumstance can get him off the throne. Don't you dare think your situation is so bad that the God of all above is so concerned by your problems, he can't figure them out. Don't you dare look at the creator of all and think he can't create a way out of your circumstance. Don't you dare say to God, what you have given me is not enough because I am so filled with self-pity right now. Don't disrespect the Father by telling him, my life ain't good enough and that's your fault.
Come on, that's a good word.
It is disrespectful to put your self-pity on the throne, because that is immediately saying to God, the most important thing you've ever done for me is not do enough. That is a horrible thing to say to your Father.
Amen.
Come on now.
You wouldn't say that to your earthly father, a lot of you. Why would you say it to your spiritual father who's been perfect? In James 1:12, it says, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial. Having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord promised to those who love him. That scripture is what I tell people when they ask me, why do bad things happen to good people? Go back to James and read that. Because what that is telling you is bad things happen to good people so they have an opportunity to become great people.
Yeah.
Your circumstance is for you to rise above.
Come on.
Nobody we ever talk about, no historical figure, no biblical figure, no important person in our life, got to be such a revered person by having an easy life.
Right.
We like to talk about Malcolm X and Dr. King. And we like to talk about the things they achieved. They had so many challenges in their life that achieving those things was a miracle in and of itself. And I don't think we talk about the challenges enough. We talk about the victory, but let's talk about this for a second. Imagine waking up in a world where you're not accepted, where it's almost illegal to be you. And then going out and saying to other people, we are going to change this situation. Without power, without resource, without income, without the ability on the political spectrum to make the changes. With everyone telling you you can't do it, they did it. Now, it's not perfect, but they elevated the racial situation in this country. And they did it through hardship. The father and mother that you had, that you love and revere so much, they went through financial trouble. They went through marriage troubles. They went through spiritual troubles. Jesus walked this world and lived nothing but troubles. People were always after him, but he remained perfect. He remained powerful. He remained loving. The disciples were attacked left and right. Many of them died deaths that you wouldn't want to think about. They would not let their self-pity limit them.
Come on now.
The biggest challenge of self-pity on your throne is it will limit you, because you will never be able to have self-pity if you're victorious. And that is why you can never claim victory, because your self-pity is telling you you're not good enough for it. You can't believe that God is your provider and then cling to being a martyr. Your joy comes from the Lord, not your circumstance.
Right, amen.
So the joy of the Lord that should be on the throne should remain on the throne. When your circumstance is outside of the throne, that is where it belongs. That is why there's a natural spiritual door you go to in prayer, because you are supposed to leave the heartache behind when you go to the Father. And you talk about the heartache, but your spirit is filled with thanksgiving when you're in his place. When you walk into the throne room, your spirit is filled with thanks and gratitude and expectation and power and love and mercy. I don't think we can describe a self-pitying person that way. Moping your way through life is saying to God, what you are is not good enough for me.
Come on.
Ooh, imagine seeing him face to face for the first time and saying to him, in 2023, I prayed to you for a car. Why didn't I get it, God? Just imagine. Put that in perspective. Start to think about your attitude with the Lord. And I want you to start thinking about, would I say this if I was in front of him?
Yes.
If I got to see his glory, would I have this heart in my life? Would I have this attitude in my heart? Would I feel this way? The answer is no, because when you are face to face finally with the most glorious king of all, you will realize your throne was always meant for him. Your life was always meant for him. And I think if I could feel one thing when I think about God and seeing his life and seeing what he's done for me, my one regret is that I have not spent every second of my life serving him. There were times in my life where I served my sin. And I deeply regret that I have a father so great that I didn't spend enough time on him. That is my one true Christian regret, that I did not have him at the throne all the time. Don't let that be your regret. Get him on the throne. Let him stay on the throne. And remind yourself, the king you choose to serve is a reflection on your life. If you feel divided, angry, vitriolic, and alone, your king is politics. If you feel like a failure, used and unfulfilled and spent, your king is money. If you feel empty, broken, hopeless, and helpless, get off the throne. You're serving yourself.
Come on.
But if you want to feel blessed, powerful, victorious, unstoppable, unchanging, immovable, incomparable, powerful, and blessed, put God on your throne and keep him there.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Christians have been called to challenge by the very nature of saying to the devil, try me. You will face challenges. You will face heartache. And you will face trouble. But as long as the King of Victory is on your throne, there is no loss. As long as the King of Victory remains the true king of your life, there is no true challenge.
Hallelujah.
Your circumstance is not the worst it's ever been. And let me tell you something. There is no circumstance that God sees in your life that he's not already prepared for.
Right. Amen.
God exists yesterday, today, and tomorrow. By the time you've prayed, he's already figured it out.
Come on. Come on.
He is already ahead making a pathway for you. Believe in that. Accept that. Live that. Don't go chasing politics thinking you can change the world with it. You change the world with God, not a vote. I'm going to tell you that right now. You can change. You can do more for this country by saving people in their hearts than forcing them to act like you think Christians should.
Good word.
When you tell people how to act and they do it, that's not true faith. When people have the opportunity to do something else and they serve God anyways, that's true faith. Get true faith in people's life. That's better than politics. When you serve money and you're always chasing paper, you're always chasing a bigger bank account, you're always chasing something. And your mind and your spirit are tired and you feel restless. You can't help but feel at a loss all the time. Better thing to do with your money is listen to God and let him tell you what to do with your money.
Come on, that's right, that's right.
I mean, no disrespect by this, but I don't want anybody in this room's financial advice because we are all pretty much within the same bracket of ourselves.
Come on.
Nobody who lives in my neighborhood needs to tell me how to spend my money. We are all people on this earth, one and the same, not good enough to rule ourselves. And if you can't make the decision that you shouldn't spend your last $5 on buying a Big Mac, then you probably shouldn't be letting yourself let money run your life because you don't do it very well.
Come on.
God is a better banker and a better accountant than you'll ever be.
Amen.
And lastly, yourself. God created you for a power and a purpose, but it's not to sit on the throne.
Right.
It's to bring people to it.
That's right. Amen.
I want you to be proud of yourself. Now, I talked about self-fulfillment, and I talked about self-pity, but I'm going to end this service today with this. You be proud of yourself.
Amen.
You look at the creation God made, and you say, oh, he did a good job on me.
Amen.
And you find your spiritual gifts, and you practice them nonstop.
Yes.
Don't serve your self-pity. Don't be self-fulfilling. Let yourself fulfill God. And let your actions have no pity amongst them. And you show people what a true victorious Christian is by doing this.
Amen.
In all circumstances, my God is on the throne. And when I serve a God who is constant and unchanging, no matter what you say to me, I'm back to my throne.
Come on.
And you say it to my King.
Come on. Thank you.
And then we'll talk.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father God in heaven, I thank you so much, God, that you are a powerful and richly blessed King. I thank you, God, that you are prepared for all of my circumstances. I will remove politics from my throne. I will remove money from my throne. And I'll get myself at your seat, God. As the politicians have come by and sat on your throne, they've made it dirty. As money has come and sat on your throne, it's really, really an ugly sight, God. And when I sit on your throne, I don't look worthy on it, because I'm not. God, I want you to sit on my throne constantly. If there will be one constant in my life, it's that I serve the King of Kings. I don't serve politics, I don't serve money, I don't serve my self-fulfillment, and I don't serve my self-pity, God. What you are is good enough for me and more. What you've done is good enough for me and more. What you are about to do for me is good enough and more. My circumstance does not dictate whether you are on the throne. The fact that you're on the throne dictates my circumstances. So I bow to you, God, and bend my knee to show you, you are my King, now and forever. And as Pastor Avery plays a few more songs of praise, God, our hearts will be on you. And we will use this worship time to remove other things off of our throne room so you and only you can shine. Thank you, Father God.